Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It is a time for women and men to really focus on health issues related to the breast. But in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, it is more important now to be up to date with exams and other breast health related appointments. Joining me for our Medical Monday conversation are Dr. Lori Wilson, Division Chief of Surgical Oncology at Howard University Hospital. She also has stage 4 breast cancer and Howard University breast cancer patient. She actually participated in the hospital's annual Mammo Day. She wants to remain anonymous, so for the purpose of this conversation, we will call her Patients. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Patience and Dr. Wilson, how are you both?
Doing well, thank you.
Wonderful.
Doing really well, thank you.
I want to start with you, Dr. Wilson, because as I said, you have been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Kind of give me an update. You've been on the program before. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Sure. Thank you so much for asking. Honestly, I feel remarkably well. I am living my life without any issues or any problems. As we've gone through this journey, you know, I started out with breast cancer in both breasts, ultimately going through chemotherapy, going through a mastectomy on both sides, going through reconstruction, which I lost, and ultimately radiation. And then 5 years of medications to reduce the risk of it coming back. And then in January of 2019, I found that I was having more back pain. And we had gone on a vacation, so I thought it was sort of secondary to that. But unfortunately, when I had my my evaluation, it showed that my cancer was back. And what we know is about 30% of women who have breast cancer, no matter what stage they start out with, from stage 1 to stage 3, that they will progress to having stage 4 breast cancer. What we know about it is that the goals really are managing it, making sure that it's treated so that we stop it in its tracks, and make it really kind of chronic and dormant. And lucky for me, that was, and more than luck, it's a blessing for me, that the treatment that I had really has done that. I'm on a clinical trial now that puts together immunotherapy along with targeted therapy. And I have seeing a 80% decrease in all of my disease, and only have less than a centimeter left. So it's really a great time in my life.
I'm glad to hear that you are doing well. I had said Patience was a breast cancer patient, but only in the sense that she had participated in Howard University Hospital's annual Mammo Day, but she does not have breast cancer. But Patience, how old are you?
I'm 46.
You're 46. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about these yearly checkups and this Mammo Day. What happens when you go, and how long have you been going, and why did you start to go?
Well, in my situation, I typically would go every January for my mammogram. And it turns out that this past January, I was laid off from my job. Mm. And, you know, I guess during the course of the pandemic, you know, COVID-19 epidemic, you know, I kind of fell behind in my regular wellness exams. And I think someone from Howard actually called me to remind me about my appointment. And, you know, I said, well, you know, I'm not going to come in, you know, X, Y, Z, because I don't have any medical insurance. And one thing led to another, and I was actually referred for the program. You know, I actually think I asked about coming in. But either way, you know, it was, I guess, serendipity that I was able to get in contact with the program and still come in for my annual mammogram.
But you said annual, so you've been going for how long?
I've been going to Howard for the past 3 years or so.
But you were concerned, certainly in the midst of the pandemic, about going. Why is that?
Well, I had been experiencing some issues, and I don't know whether because of the pandemic, you know, what have you, but I was just having some issues, and I didn't know whether they were normal or not, mm-hmm. you know. And like I said, serendipity, you know, chances would have it that it just coincided around the time that I usually go for my mammogram. And I was put in touch with the program, you know, being as though I did not have medical insurance at the time.
Dr. Wilson, I'm assuming, have you been treating patients at all during the shutdown?
We are actually back up and we're open for patients. And you're absolutely right. There was a time where we saw a declination or a decline in the number of patients we were seeing because we were focusing our attention towards COVID patients and the surge that we were having. However, we never completely closed for those that were having emergencies. We never completely closed for those that had breast issues that were concerning and new to a patient.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our Medical Monday conversation. We are talking about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you have any questions about breast cancer, breast exams, mastectomies, lumpectomies, anything having to do with breast health, now is the time to give us a call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So we are now in August. The pandemic shutdown started in March. So we are talking about 8 months of shutdown. And I'm quite sure, and I'm not just talking about literal shutdown, Dr. Wilson, but I'm talking about the mental and emotional stress and strain that has been caused by the shutdown. And as we know, a couple of months ago, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser spoke very openly about really focusing on all health issues and making sure that people continue with whatever wellness updates were needed. Can we talk about why it's so important to stay focused on those breast health updates?
Absolutely. First, I want to really applaud our patient who decided to share her experience with Mammo Day. It's such an important issue, especially in the times of COVID, where we are seeing a number of people who have lost their health insurance and have lost the ability to go in as they would normally do it annually and with their own goals and with their own clinicians. So I really want to applaud her. What we know about this time is that it's been difficult for patients. There's not been a lot of information that has really been given, but what we do know is that there are fewer patients that are in the pipeline that are doing their prevention. There are fewer patients that were diagnosed in the same time frame as we would expect. We worry that there is definitely patients that we're missing because of fear of not being able to have their health insurance accepted, fear of coming to the hospital with COVID being a major concern. And there's a lot of anxiety and angst just around the whole issue of COVID and the longevity that we've undergone, the length of time we've undergone with this. So it's been devastating in a lot of ways, and many of those ways are emotional.
Mm-hmm. When we've heard for years about, you know, breast exams for women in the shower and the like, but for those women who don't do that but may suspect that there may be an issue, what kind of signs might they experience, symptoms? So, for example, pain in the breast. What does that, is it a dull pain, sharp pain? What kinds of things, and what might bra wearing or not bra wearing have to do with that pain?
I think that those are all excellent questions. What we should understand is that the vast majority of things that are found in the breast are not cancer. 8 out of 10 findings are not going to be cancer. They're going to be a benign, non-cancerous finding of the breast tissue, the skin, the nipple, and are not going to end in a diagnosis. However, when there is something that is different about one's breast and it's persistent, it is important to have it checked out, no matter where you are in your status, before menopause or after menopause. What we know to be important are changes that are, like I said, persistent. Skin changes, redness, thickening. You notice that the nipple or the skin gets pulled in when you're doing your exam. You notice that there's dimpling in the skin. You notice that there is nipple discharge that's happening on one side, and it's bloody. You may also notice that there's a lump in the breast, and that lump is very firm and doesn't move around well in the tissue. Mm-hmm. Pain is more commonly a benign finding. What we see in pain is usually it's related to a change in the breast that is inflammatory. So pain that's related to a lump or a cyst or a stretching of the breast tissue. And then lastly, you asked about bras. So there's been a lot of question about whether underwire bras or types of bras impact breast cancer. And what we know is that it does not. It may be the underwire bra may be more uncomfortable at the end of the day, but it is not a item that causes breast cancer.
Patients, you don't have history of breast cancer in your family. So in the past 3 years of going and getting your exams, what is it that you've learned about your body?
As far as I know, I do not have a history of breast cancer in my family. Many other illnesses, but not breast cancer. And the one thing that I've learned from the doctor that worked with me, she helped me, she gave me the pre-examination prior to having the actual mammogram. And she explained to me that, you know, at a certain stage or age of the woman's life, you know, her body starts to go through different changes. She stated that mine may be attributed to being perimenopausal. Because what I noticed is that, just like Dr. Lori was saying, you know, just look for persistency. And in my case, it's not been a persistency per se, and it hasn't been a change of appearance or anything like that. It's just that I was concerned because, I guess, as my doctor stated, that when a woman is a certain stage in her life, mm-hmm. she'll notice that her body is going through different changes. I guess different things will be heightened. You know, but I talked to her, and she said that what I was experiencing was common for my age group.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are focusing on breast health. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you have any questions about breast cancer, breast health, mammograms, and this isn't just a conversation for the women. Certainly, it's a conversation for the men as well, because men also get breast cancer, although certainly not in the numbers that women do, but we still need to address that as well. Real quick, before I go to a break, Dr. Wilson, where can people find out more information about Howard University's breast health program?
Sure. So they can go online to the Howard University Cancer Center. We also can be reached through our main line at the hospital, and our patient navigators are available to help to schedule. We have wonderful navigators, Kimberly Higginbotham, who is our head patient navigator, who has helped to design this program and has kept it functional from an administrative standpoint, as well as our outpatient representative, Cherie Spencer, who does and helps us from the Cancer Center standpoint to represent and to advertise in the community.
Well, I want to thank patients for talking to us about her experience with the hospital's annual Mammo Day. And I hope that you continue to focus on your health and to remain in the best health that you possibly can be. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jazz, calling from Landover. Jazz, please do not hang up. Lines are still open as we continue this conversation about National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call at 202-319-7810. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation and your phone calls continue on SiriusXM at 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our Medical Monday conversation with Breast Cancer Awareness Month. My guest is Dr. Lori Wilson, Division Chief of Surgical Oncology at Howard University Hospital. She is also a stage 4 breast cancer survivor. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jazz, calling from Landover. Thanks for calling, Jazz. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I just wanted to share, I listen to you guys often, but I wanted to share that I thank my mom. She is a 33-year survivor of breast cancer. We have a strong history of breast cancer in our family. My grandmother, her sisters, my mom, who discovered it at age 42, and my mom now is 76. And I've been getting breast cancer mammograms since I've been 26, and I thank God that I'm cancer-free thus far. I'm now 58 years old, so it's very important to get your mammograms, to check yourself, to know the symptoms. I've had great aunts who later in life have developed breast cancer, But I just said to my mom, hey, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Thank you. Thank you for surviving. Thank you. Mm.
Jazz, thank you so much. Your thoughts, Dr. Wilson?
I just love the enthusiasm and the love you can hear through her voice. I think that one of the critical things that we have to say about Jazz is that she knows her family history, mm-hmm. and that is key. That's one of the things that we have to really make a point of, sharing our family's history with each other. It makes a difference when we know that more than one family member on the same side of the family has a cancer and what years they were diagnosed and how they were treated. That helps us to know what should we do for ourselves, when should we start getting screened, and with that screening, should something else happen, like genetic screening, genetic counseling. And so all these things are so very, very important. So thank you very much for sharing your story with us.
Jazz, thank it's you so great. Much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Pat calling from Maryland. Pat, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I experienced... Okay, one day it seemed like my breasts were, you know, like firm. And then my right breast seemed like it turned to jello. Is that something that I should be concerned with?
So, it is important, number one, to know your body. If this is a new change for you and this is not something that you've experienced before, then it's something that you should bring to the attention of your provider. I am happy to see patients who may have changes, but then we find out that those changes are actual normal changes for them, or they're benign changes, which are not cancer. I'm happy to give that news, and I really do encourage women to not worry about whether they're making a diagnosis that is positive or not. But if there's a change, let us know, and we'll help and work together to find a diagnosis and what the next step should be.
Okay, but I mean, is there a certain age that your breast would turn so, you know, like jello?
So yes. One of the things that we do know is that there are three types of breast tissue. There is the ducts and lobules, which are the milk-making segments of our breast, and are most important, of course, when we're pregnant. They're always there, but only produce milk, of course, when they're stimulated. Then you have fat in your breast, and when you're young, you have far less fat in your breast. And what you have is more of this stromal or really dense breast tissue that gives you the structure. When we go through changes in age and in our body and in our cycles, one thing that you find after your cycle stops is that you go through menopause. And menopause means that you don't have this, you know, this new you or this these hormones that are being stimulated. And so your breasts then change and become fatty. And so then you get an increase in your fat in your breast, and your breasts then, yes, become softer and fatter. And in that transition, you can have a little more fat, a little less structure, but it can be very slow in its process. So, yes, it is very normal for you to have fatty breasts as you grow older after menopause.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Pat, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. So, Dr. Wilson, I want to talk about the various and sundry surgeries. I want to start with lumpectomy. You mentioned earlier
that there are times when there may be changes in the breast, and while those changes may be significant, they may be benign. So if you feel a lump, but if it's diagnosed as benign, should you have it removed anyway?
It depends on several things, on size, location, when you do a biopsy, what is that specific finding that's seen under the microscope. So some women, yes, it's important for them to have that lump removed, but that is a diagnosis and a decision that you make as a partnership with your surgeon. I think it's also important to make sure that you're following up after the biopsy is done and after you have a benign diagnosis to continue to make sure that your breasts are being followed very closely. It is important for patients to, like I said, know their body well and to know that changes that occur may, each and every change is significant. So if you have a lump that was diagnosed 5 years ago and was benign, but now you have another lump, you have to have as much emphasis on diagnosing that lump as you did your first lump. Each one is individualized, and each one should be looked at and evaluated independently.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about breast health and Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Let's go to Veronica calling from D.C. Hey, Veronica, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm a firm believer in the Word of God, and I think this call was probably for me. And I've been experiencing some things as far as my breast is concerned. I had went to the hospital and been diagnosed with cancer in my left breast and a tumor in my right. And they were saying that they recommended a bisectomy for me. But in the process, I had two biopsies and ultrasounds as well. And one doctor told me that I didn't have it. She sent me a letter to my house and told me I didn't have breast cancer. And then another doctor from the breast center told me that I did have it. And they had scheduled me an appointment. I did an MRI, as I said, to find out was it, you know, active or what have you. And the doctor that was supposed to give me my surgery, she actually stood there and told me she'd never seen cancer like that before. So I've been kind of confused, but I wanted an opinion to make sure that I'm okay, because I don't know. And I was scheduled to have a surgery done that I wasn't sure about, so I turned away from it.
And Dr. Wilson?
So I think one of the important things is to make sure that your questions are answered and that you understand the things that are going on with your body. Having a second opinion is always a good option, making sure that you take the information from your first appointment to your second appointment. Making sure that you take your pathology report, any of your images, like your mammography, your ultrasounds, and those things, and have someone sort of really sit down and go through them with you so that you understand what the pathology shows and what it really means. And then someone should be able to go through it with you and give you a final diagnosis that tells you whether it's cancer or not. And if they don't think it's cancer, why did they initially believe that it was abnormal?
Yes, ma'am. So that's where I'm at. I'm searching for another place, and I heard you guys, and I think I want to come in and see what you guys can tell me. Well, give me an exam or what have you. so I can get through this.
If I could ask, who do you have for support? Who is your support?
You mean as far as
family, friends, significant
other?
Oh,
yeah, I have my brother and my family, period. You know, my brother, he's always there for me. And I have two daughters, younger daughters.
And I would say that making sure to bring a second set of ears, having someone there with you to ask questions along with you and to help you think of those things that you may not you may have discussed with your family members, but may not come up automatically in the appointment. So having a second person in the appointment is always a great idea.
And I thank you for that, because they would not allow me to have that when I went to have that done. And they told me I couldn't bring anyone.
Was that this year?
Yes, that was this year.
Because of COVID-19, or was there another reason?
Well, they told me that it was COVID, because of COVID, but I couldn't really understand that, because you should be able to have at least one person to come with you to your appointments regardless. It's just like a person that's a senior and they need to have their nurse with them to all their appointments. So I couldn't understand that.
That's a very important point, Dr. Wilson, for exactly the reason that you said, because, and I'm assuming, if someone is concerned about a breast cancer diagnosis and there may be a bit of anxiety and the like, you do need a second pair of ears and eyes and everything else.
Yeah, and I agree. And one of the things that you may ask in that is, can you have a conference call with the doctor and your other family member or support person, so that there are ways to get around it. I would always say that it is important for every patient to understand what's going on with their body. We know that the best patient is a well-informed patient. And if you're not feeling comfortable, then there's just so much that goes along anxiety-wise and emotionally with a diagnosis of cancer that you really should make sure that you know everything about what the next steps are.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, and I agree with that, because that's exactly what happened when they told me that I had it. I literally broke down like I was in shock for a moment. I was just going through mentally, and I felt so alone, you know, and I wanted that. I wanted that support of my family. I wanted my brother to be. My brother was the one that told me to not go through it yet, because it's some funny things that he just didn't understand. When I explained it to him, he was saying, it just don't seem right to me. It's not now.
Well, I think, Veronica, I think you have the next best steps in trying to move forward. And I'm sure the doctor would agree that the sooner the better, that you go in with, you know, family members, friends, or your support system, so that you can get the best information, whether this is a second opinion, third opinion, or what have you. And so I thank you so much for being transparent and sharing your experience with us, and we certainly wish you the best of health.
Absolutely.
I want to go back to the surgery piece, because one of the things that we've heard a lot of lately, there have been some very, you know, high profile women who have elected to have a double mastectomy, even though they have not had breast cancer themselves, but they had a history of that. And a dear friend of mine went through that late last year. Her mother died of breast cancer years ago. And this is a woman who is 36 years old, and she decided to do that. She's fine now. She's had reconstructive surgery. But talk to me about what that, the purpose of that process and what it's like.
Sure. Well, let's begin by saying that the vast majority of breast cancers are breast cancers that can be treated by lumpectomy, which means removing the breast cancer and leaving the breast intact.
Mm-hmm.
70-75% can undergo that to begin with. There are definitely situations where that is not possible. When the breast cancers are large, or when we're looking at family histories that lead one to believe that there is a strong family history of breast cancer, and then it may lead to genetic counseling, and then finding out it's a gene that's being passed from one generation to the next. What we're doing in that situation is really risk reducing, reducing the risk of someone who's at really high risk of having breast cancer down to really low risk. We know that for those patients that do not have breast cancer but undergo bilateral mastectomy, it's usually because of a genetic form of breast cancer gene that's being passed from one generation to the next. When we are looking at breast cancers for patients who have breast cancer only on one side, then it's a important discussion to have because we no longer do cookie cutter surgeries and treatment for patients. Every patient's treatment currently is individualized because we can look at where it is in the breast. We can look at the type of breast cancers they have, the size of breast cancers they have, the genetic features they have, the molecular features that they have. So much goes into now designing management for breast cancer that no two patients are hardly ever treated similarly. We may have the same types of management, but very different in how we go about selecting treatments. So it's important to know all that you can about your diagnosis, all that you can about your gene profile, and all that you can about why a particular treatment is being recommended.
How successful is the bilateral mastectomy in preventing breast cancer?
So the important thing to know is that mastectomies do not make your risk go down to zero. Normal risk for every woman sort of walking around without any increased family history, just normal risk, is about 12% lifetime risk. When we are looking at patients with breast cancer and we do a mastectomy, then their risk goes down to a likely recurrence of about 2-3%. So it reduces the risk tremendously. However, it doesn't make it go down to zero, which means that you still have to be followed by an expert in the field of breast health. You still need to make sure that you're being examined. You still need to make sure that if there are any changes that you notice to the skin or soft tissue underneath the skin, that you bring that to the attention of your healthcare provider. There's no guarantees of anything that takes all of your risk away for breast cancer, no matter whether you do a mastectomy or you do a lumpectomy. But what we know is that in both patients, whether you do a mastectomy or you do a lumpectomy, your survival, the length of time that you live, is the same. So doing a mastectomy does not lengthen your life. It just reduces the risk of it coming back in that breast.
We spoke earlier about men and breast cancer, and there's still so much that is not understood because, as we know, men and women are built differently. How does it present in men?
You know, very similarly in that usually it's a lump. It's a lump that doesn't go away, that is a firm lump that oftentimes in men, because men have such small amounts of fat and breast tissue, it's usually in the tissue underneath the nipple and usually stuck to the muscle underneath so that it doesn't move around very much at all. And usually there's skin changes like skin dimpling, or there can even be ulcers or erosions in the skin because of the cancer.
So how is it treated similarly?
It is treated similarly. The only thing is that men do not think of a lump as the first thing in their mind as being breast cancer. So oftentimes what happens with men is that it gets delayed. Their diagnosis gets delayed because that's not what they think it is. And so they watch it oftentimes for much longer than women do. And so they present to the doctor in later stages. And we know that the later stage that you have your breast cancer, the more likelihood that you are to have outcomes that are not as good.
Mm-hmm. So if a man listening to this conversation is now wondering, oh, well, what about me? What should he look for? Should he examine himself in the same manner that we have seen so many instructional guides for women who are doing breast self-exam?
Yes, men should be aware of their body in the same way as women. So feeling the skin and from the collarbone down to underneath the pecs on both sides, from the middle of your side to the other middle of your side, using your fingertips to feel the tissue from in that area. And if you feel a lump, then anything that you feel that feels different or new or persistent or you're uncomfortable with, bring it to the attention of your healthcare provider, whether that is your nurse practitioner, that is your primary care doctor, or that is your breast health specialist.
In the beginning of the conversation, you kind of ran down a long list of your experiences with breast cancer. As an oncologist and as a patient going through this rough process, what have you learned about your body, yourself, that you want to pass on to women who are concerned about, you know, the stages 1 through 4?
Sure. Thank you very much for bringing that up. I think one of the things that it's made me as a clinician is that I listen to my patients hopefully much more in depth than before. I try now to ask about everything that my patient brings up, because it is that small detail that may seem small to me, but is huge for my patient. I think the other things that are important is that don't wait. If you have something that is bothering you, bring it to the attention of your doctor as soon as it bothers you. I think it is, you should not worry that you are wasting anyone's time. You should not worry that it may mean nothing and that you didn't find something, and so it it wasn't a big deal. Everything that is a big deal to you should be a big deal to your clinician. And so the biggest thing that I have to say is that it's all important. If it's important to you, make sure that you reach out and you're seen and that your questions get answered.
Are you undergoing any kind of outside? I know you mentioned the clinical trial, but where are you in your treatments right now, or have they stopped, or help me with that?
Well, one of the things that we know when we talk about stage four is that your treatments usually don't stop. Usually you continue to have examinations, so I get examined. I follow up with my doctor at least once every 3 to 4 weeks. And I go in for treatment, I take a tablet, two tablets, twice a day. And then I go in for an IV treatment once a month. And so it is really the goal to make it chronic. Just like if I had diabetes, I never stop. I know that unless something changes, that I'm going to continue to follow the treatments that I'm given, and it keeps it in check.
Well, we wish you the very best of health and certainly long life in feeling good.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate you coming on the program again, Dr. Wilson. I know it's been a long journey, but there's a reason that you're still with us, so that you can help women and men and families and friends and everyone else get through these kinds of health challenges. So I wish you the best, Dr. Wilson, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
Just one opportunity that I could say is that breast cancer, even with a stage four diagnosis, is not the end, that we have great research that's going on and great treatments that are there for patients. Make sure that you're taking advantage of every opportunity, because the goal is cure. The goal is cure.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lori Wilson, Howard University Hospital. Take care. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, October 12th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with our own Wes Hall. Good night.